I'm going to share not out of Job today. I was doing some devotional reading last night in the book of 1 Samuel. I got an email this morning, and it just confirmed about what I read last night. So I need to share with you because it's regarding Nova Worship and our circumstances here. So I'm in the kitchen cooking me some eggs and potatoes this morning. Glory. Ah, yeah, it was beautiful. Amen. And I'm in there, and I get this email, and it's from Nova Worship. They're the district superintendent, their denomination has told them as of November 1st, they're going to mark this church inactive, and they're going to go ahead and put this building up for sale. So, and now what did we say earlier? And in prior sermons, one of the things that we know is here to stay is change. So, if you live in this life, you know that if you live it long enough, you know that the ability to adapt is how you get along. That's how you get by. Look here. Now, what's the one thing? Who do we know never changes? So it doesn't matter what changes down here, he remains the same. Yesterday, today, and forever. And when our circumstances change here, he's there saying, "Are you going to trust me? Are you going to look to me? Are you going to wait on me? Am I your God? Am I your Father?" Yes. Well, so I wait on the Lord. I don't get upset. Don't get worried. Don't get flustered. So I get this email. They send me the letter. And I said, and I looked at it, and I'm still frying my potatoes, frying my eggs. Amen. And so I shouted out to the elders, my wife, Sherry, and Bill. And they gave good counsel, encouraging responses. But then I was contemplating last night when I was reading in 1 Samuel. Let me share with you what I was reading and what the Holy Spirit was saying to me. 1 Samuel chapter 9. This is the account of when Saul now is being separated to be king of Israel. There was this man of Benjamin whose name was Kish. He had, verse 2, he had a choice and handsome son whose name was Saul. There was no more handsome person than he among the children of Israel. So this was the prettiest man, the most handsome man. Get it in your mind. From his shoulders and upward, he was taller than any of the people of Israel. So he was the most handsome and the tallest person in all of Israel. Get that, try and get that in your mind for a second. And it says that there was a day, let's see, where now the donkeys of Kish, Saul's father, were lost. And Kish said to his son, "Please take one of the servants with you and arise and go look for the donkeys." So he passed through the mountains of Ephraim, through the land of Shalisha, but they did not find them. So they passed through the land of Shalem. They were not there. Then they passed through the land of the Benjaminites, and they did not find them. When they had come to the land of Zoph, Saul said to his servant who was with him, "Come, let us return, lest my father cease caring about the donkeys and become worried about us." Saul is sent on a mission to find the donkeys. You know the scripture. He doesn't find the donkeys, but that wasn't the reason why he went to begin with. See, there's a reason why we go on man's level, but then there's the real reason why we go where we go, which is God's agenda. And as a children of God, we have to come to the place where we understand this, right? I share with you all the time, I go in someone's house, I'm cleaning carpet. That's man's level. That's what I'm there to do. But one lady told me, she perceived God's agenda. She said, "Sir, you were not here to clean my carpet today. That was not the reason, primary reason why you came to my house. The reason you came to my house was to share with me that scripture that you kept sharing with me." A woman told me that, a Catholic woman told me that. I'll never forget it. I was shocked. This woman perceived, God opened up her eyes to see that she needed to hear the word of God. And so Saul, they're going looking for these donkeys. That's what his father sent him to do. But God sent him to become king of Israel. Okay? And so when I stood up here and said, they say that they're going to mount this church inactive and November 1, get your stuff out because. And I looked at it And I thought about what I read last night. This is what I'm reading, this email, earlier this morning. I'm reading this email, and 1 Samuel come right back up in my spirit, says, you remember when Saul went looking for the donkeys? That wasn't the reason why he went. See? And you're about, it looks like, so it looks very much like we're going to be exiting this building in less than a month. That's what it looks like. That's what it looks like on man's level. But what's God doing? What's God's plan? See, we don't know. We walk by faith, not by, okay. So I just wanted to get that in your spirit. So as life comes at you, we're not moved and shaken, because Jesus said the winds are going to blow, the rain's going to fall, the storm's going to come. But if you are standing on the rock who is the Word of God, if you are standing upon the Word of God, your foundation is sure. Your foundation is sure. You say, Pastor, where do you know what? No, but neither did Abraham. God said, Abraham, leave your father's house. Leave all your kindred. Go out to a place I'll show you. Abraham's like, we thinking I'm out. Abraham, like, okay, well, show me. God didn't show him. He just said, go. Go. And step by one step. By one step he leading. One step I may see his eyes on the sparrow. So scripture in that song that talks about how God leads only by one step. He doesn't show you the whole thing. He says, take a step of faith. And when you take that step, I'll show you the next one. But no, God, no, I can't do that. I need to see everything. Oh, doesn't work like that. Doesn't work like that. And so, verse 6, and he said to him, look now, there is in the city a man of God, and he is an honorable man. All that he says surely comes to pass, so let us go there. Perhaps he can show us the way we should go. This is the servant talking to Saul. Verse 7, then Saul said to his servant, but look, if we go, what shall we bring the man? For the bread in our vessels is all gone. There is no present to bring the man of God. What do we have? The servant answered, I begin to think, this servant is pretty on top of it. And the servant answered Saul again and said, look, I have here one fourth of a shekel of silver. I will give that to the man of God to tell us our way. Formerly in Israel, when a man went to inquire of God, he spoke thus, come, let us go to the seer. For he who is now called a prophet was formerly called a seer. Then Saul said to his servant, well said. So the servant comes up with the idea to go see the man of God. Saul says, how? We don't have anything to get him. The servant is so resourceful. The servant says, I have a quarter of a shekel here. We'll give that to the man. Saul says, okay. To show you how much God went before to put Saul where he needed to be, using the servant to do so. Then Saul said to his servant, verse 10, well said, come, let us go. So they went to the city where the man of God was. And as they went up the hill to the city, they met some young women going out to draw water and said to them, is the seer here? And they answered them and said, yes, there he is just ahead of you. Only God can do this. The person you looking for, you don't know where he is. You don't know what he looks like. You say, is he here? The person says, yeah, he's right there. That's God. Anybody ever had stuff happen like that? I mean, I've had stuff. You're sitting there flabbergasted. You're like, oh, this is the hand of the Lord. This is the hand of the Lord. Because only God can orchestrate things like this. And he did it from eternity past. He's not up in heaven alone. Lord, let me get that together now. Let me get these people here. No. It's awkward. Listen, our destiny has already been orchestrated in Christ. And this is part of the agenda where we are right now. You say, but I've never been here before. Doesn't matter. God has. He's already gone before us in all things. In all things. And so, hurry now, they said, for today he, listen to this, hurry now, for today he came to this city, because there's a sacrifice of the people today on the high place. Today he came to the city. In other words, this wasn't where he normally stayed. He wasn't here yesterday. He probably not going to be here tomorrow, but he's here today, and so are you. That's God. To put you right where you need to be to meet the person that you need to meet. I shared how Carl did that with the job that he had. when he showed up to a work fair after the fair was over. They're packing up everything, and he pulls in, talks to somebody. They say, you just the person we... Listen, they're packing up. They're done. It's over. The whole thing is shut down. Carl pulls up and says, hey, yeah, I got stuck, but I was here. You look, they said, you just the person. Hired him on the spot. That's God. That's God. Listen, listen, when it's God, even you're being late can't file it up. Hello. And as soon as you come into the city, he says, you will surely find him before he goes up to the high place to eat. For the people will not eat until he comes, because he must bless the sacrifice. Afterward, those who are invited to eat. Now, therefore, go up, for about this time you shall find him. Verse 14. So they went up to the city, and as they were coming into the city, there was Samuel coming out toward them on his way to go up to the high place. Now, watch this, verse 15, to show you the preeminence of God, how God goes before us in all things, and apply this to your life. Now, the Lord said, told Samuel in his ear the day before Saul came to him. So the Lord told Samuel this the day before. Tomorrow about this time, I will send you a man from the land of Benjamin, and you shall anoint him commander over my people Israel, that he may save my people from the hand of the Philistines. For I have looked upon my people because their cry has come to me. So the Lord tells Samuel the day before, I'm sending a man to you. But the Lord didn't plan that the day before. He just told him the day before. But you see, God had planned that from eternity past. That was planned before the donkeys got lost. That was planned before Saul was born. That was planned by God, right? And so this verse is just so pregnant with it. There's so much here because he says, you shall anoint him commander over my people Israel, that he may save my people from the hand of the Philistines. God was concerned with saving his people from the Philistines, even though in chapter 8, the prior chapter, the people asked for a king, and it grieved Samuel, and God said to Samuel, they haven't rejected you. They've rejected me. But the God who was rejected was still giving a king, a person, to defeat the Philistines on behalf of his people. That's just astounding, the mercy and the grace of God, right? So, because he heard their cry, even though they had rejected him. So God had gone before Israel. He went before Samuel. He went before Saul. Again, we see the real reason why Saul went looking for those donkeys, because those donkeys took him ultimately to the place where the man of God would reveal to him the purpose of his life, right? So there's this human plane that we live on, but then there's the plane of walking in the Spirit, where our eyes are open to what God is doing, that we live on that plane too. And as born-again believers, we must realize that that's going on the daily. That's going on in our lives, right? Now, when Samuel saw Saul, verse 17, the Lord said to him, there he is, the man of whom I spoke to you. This one shall reign over my people. Even here in 1 Samuel, God was dealing with the Philistines. You remember in the book of Judges, in chapters 13, 14, 15, 14, 15, 16, God raised up Samson to defeat the Philistines. Why? Because the Philistines were a thorn in Israel's side. They were always coming at Israel. Well, God raised up multiple leaders to fight against the Philistines. What ethnicity was that giant? What was he? That giant named Goliath, he was a what? He was a Philistine. That was David. Well, that was came after Saul, but God raised up Saul to defeat the Philistines too. God was constantly going after the Philistines because the Philistines were going after his people. And after Saul, between Saul and David, there was Saul's son, Jonathan. And before David ever killed a Philistine, Jonathan was killing Philistines. And that's why when Jonathan looked at David, the Bible says his soul was knit to him as one person. Why? Because Jonathan saw in David, he saw himself in David. David had just killed a Philistine. Jonathan had been killing Philistines. And they were one. They met in one heart. So verse 18, then Saul drew near to Samuel in the gate and said, please tell me where is the seer's house? He says, where is the seer's house? He doesn't know he's talking to the seer. Where is the seer's house? Samuel answered Saul and said, I am the seer. Go up before me to the high place, for you shall eat with me today, and tomorrow I will let you go, and I will tell you all that is in your heart. Saul knew nothing of this when he went to look for the donkeys. He knew nothing. We know nothing today about where we're going to meet. How's it going to work? All of that. I'm like, we don't need to know it all. All we need to know is that God is seated on the throne. I pray for Israel and Gaza every day. Like my brother here prays every prayer meeting. My brother's like, Pastor, we need to pray for peace. We need to pray for peace. And he's right. And don't think because you pray for peace, but you don't get peace, that God still doesn't want peace. Amen. We keep praying. I pray for Israel and Gaza every morning. And I wake up yesterday morning and they're going at it like they haven't since Yom Kippur. And I'm looking at this going, my goodness. But we remain faithful in prayer. You remember, what was the sighting? Is it Revelation 14 where the souls under the altar cried out to God and said, when are you going to avenge our blood that was shed? And the Lord said this to them, wait a little while longer. There's some other people who have to die for my name. He said, wait a little while longer. There are other people who have to sacrifice for my name. Verse 20, but as for your donkeys that were lost 3 days ago, imagine a man telling you this. Imagine a man. When my family first walked into this church, Prophet and Pastor Mingo was sitting at the keyboard. He jumps up from the keyboard, walks over to my mother, says, where's your husband? She didn't get to say anything. He said, he's dead, isn't he? She says, yes, he is. This man never met us a day. He never laid eyes on us a day in our. We had never met this man before. He said, your husband's dead, isn't he? She says, yes, he is. He said, did you know he was running from God? And my mother didn't know what to think. And then he pushed past my mother, put his hand on my head, and he said, now what I called your husband to do, I now call your son to do. I was like, woo, glory. Now, I knew this man was hearing from God because he'd never seen us before. He didn't know who we were. And he was giving God's agenda for my life. So here's Samuel now in verse 20 says, but as for your donkeys that were lost 3 days ago, Samuel's now pushing that aside and now revealing what God's agenda was. That don't be concerned with that, he said. Don't be anxious about them, for they have been found. And on whom is all the desire of Israel? Is it not on you and on all your father's house? Then Saul talks about how insignificant his tribe is amongst the tribes of Israel. And then Samuel invites Saul to the feast. And then he tells him, in the next chapter, he anoints him with oil and anoints him king of Israel. But I shared that because when I was just reading devotionally last night. I'm in 1 Samuel, Jeremiah, and Psalms. That's where I'm reading. And I opened to this, and it was my regular reading. And as I'm reading this, I got the sense in my own spirit, this is what you're going to share tomorrow morning. And I just kind of like, I got Job right here. I got Job ready to go. Matter of fact, I even added to it. You know, the one I was going to see preach last week, I added to it. I got it. Hey, it's even better. But it was like, be ready. Be ready. And I was like, okay, I'm going to be ready. I'm going to be ready for Jeremiah, out of Psalms, out of 1 Samuel. I'm going to be ready for it all because that's just the way it is. The book opens up and it speaks. And so, but when I got the email this morning, I was like, oh, yeah. Yeah, it is 1 Samuel this morning. So I share this to say, just as Saul went after the donkeys, we are told you know, we're going to have to vacate this place. But know this, that God had his agenda and his purpose in line for Saul. And it's the same way with us. Amen. So we're going to be praying for Nova Worship. We're going to be praying for, I don't know, I'm going to call Pastor Jerry when I get home, see if he knows anything more, but any hard deadlines, because I'll come and with my truck and get some of our stuff. But then I got to talk to Nova and all that. But I will keep the whole church abreast. Obviously, this means, you know, Bill gave good counsel, said, listen, until we secure a place, we can do Zoom. Obviously, if we get another place, then we would move the service up from the afternoon back to the morning. And then you would have your Sunday afternoons free. I got to mention Kweku's testimony. See, so God said, I'm going to set my son free. He said, so the church is going to go leave that building and go to another building where they have to meet at 2 p.m. And that's going to affect my son. You see that? Some people say, you get out of my face. You're saying God wouldn't do. No, yes, he would for that and for a whole lot of other stuff going on in our lives, But now, since you're free, you know, we could be back up at and then you have to. Then you can walk high. Say, I'm not getting bound again. Amen. Hallelujah. listen, we're all getting free from something. We are all getting free. Y'all, you may be getting free from something. I'm getting free from multiple things. So I'm telling you, God turning this one inside out. Why? Because he know how bad you need me. Saying, yeah, Lord Jesus. Jesus, help me. So let's stand. We're going to pray. And we'll dismiss. Father, we thank you. Let's pray for our sister. Lord, we thank you for Melody's life. Father, we thank you, Lord, that before she was even born, oh God, you mapped out her life. Lord, and your good intentions have been over her in Christ Jesus. Father, we thank you for going before her and all the doctor's appointments that we've prayed over. Thank you, oh God, that you indeed go before her on all of this travel. We pray your mercies, O God, your compassions would surround her about as a shield, O God, and keep her, Lord. Father, we pray, Lord, thank you for aligning all things in your timing. And Father, we pray, Lord, that nothing of what you have ordained would be hindered in any way by the power of the enemy. But every evil work, O God, is brought to nothing in the power and in the matchless name of Jesus, our Christ, our Lord and Savior. So we lift her up. We lift all of this to you. We thank you for the job. Thank you for the promotion. Thank you, oh God, for all things. Every good and perfect gift comes down from the Father of lights. And we thank you for it, Father, over her life. Now, Lord, over this circumstance with this building, Lord, we pray for Nova Worship. We thank you, oh God, for the pastors that have shepherded that flock. Thank you, Lord, for us being able to meet here for the years that we have. Father, we don't know what tomorrow holds, but we do know who holds tomorrow. And therefore, oh God, we rest in your embrace. We rest, oh God. Lord, we trust in him who does not fail. Lord, we trust in you, oh God, who has redeemed our lives from all destruction. So, Lord, we just simply pray, Lord, lead us, oh God, by faith and trust. In your Lord, your word says you will guide us with your eye. Father, thank you, oh God, for speaking into our hearts, oh God, speaking into our spirits, Lord, as we encourage one another, Lord, minister and edify one another by the Spirit of our God. Lord, you'll lead us into green pastures beside still waters and nothing terrified by our enemies, oh God, but walking in the rest of the Lord. Guide us, we pray, Lord, we ask in Jesus' holy name. And everyone said amen. Amen and amen. God bless you.